You're listening to SBS News.
A not-for-profit think tank advocating for issues affecting one of the country's most culturally diverse regions, Greater Western Sydney, has welcomed the announcement of SBS's expansion to the area. The multicultural public broadcaster is set to establish a new dedicated production hub in Greater Western Sydney, which generates $104 billion to the economy every year, making it Australia's third largest economy behind Sydney CBD and Melbourne. An initial feasibility study focused on a full relocation of SBS from its headquarters in Artarmon, but the government decided not to pursue it due to the significant cost. The federal government says an upfront investment of $5.9 million will allow for broadcast facilities to be set up, including a TV studio for live audiences, radio and podcasting booths, collaboration spaces for talent incubation. I spoke with Adam Leto, the CEO of the Western Sydney Leadership Dialogue. He says the decision is welcome for the local population, 2.7 million residents, 41% of whom are born overseas.
This is still one of the fastest growing regions in the country, and it is also one of the most diverse. It is home to more than 40% of the population that are from non-English speaking backgrounds, and in some pockets of Western Sydney, and that concentration is even higher. So for us, it makes perfect sense to have the nation's multicultural broadcaster based in the multicultural centre of Australia.
What are some of the benefits you see to this move? You've welcomed it.
We see it as an encouraging first step. We want to see SBS closer to the multicultural stories, the multifaceted, multi-layered stories in communities in Western Sydney. And we want our communities to have access and to be able to tell their stories. And what better way than through SBS?
The Federal Communications Minister, Michelle Rowland, says she sees some of the benefits too, being kind of more collaboration and job opportunities with the local creatives in the area, including recognising that 41% of the residents were born overseas and this will create more opportunities. What's your take on that?
We'd love to see more than just a production base. We'd love to see a multifaceted studio that can provide collaboration spaces, link with the universities in the area. The Western Sydney region is home to a number of universities that have presences there that I think would connect into their media and the digital communications courses, opening up the space so that it isn't just a closed office, but it is a community facility, and I think it really will be met with open arms in Western Sydney for a community that wants to be able to share its voice and its story.
And on that voice and story, I mean, the dialogue that you're working with, the think tank, really works in the public policy space. How do you see the kind of greater presence of SBS being in that local area, maybe helping to deliver on that in terms of spreading that public policy work that you're doing there?
Absolutely. I think there's so many untold stories in Western Sydney, and for a long time, a lot of the communities were either concerned or perhaps apprehensive about sharing them. The presence of SBS provides a confidence, knowing that the government and others want to hear that voice and want to be close to the people and the communities that have, for a long time, haven't been able to tell their story. So we think that by opening up the doors, making it a public facility with links to the university and other businesses, that this could be a really important hub for activity and for conversation in the region.
When I see here comments from the chairman, Christopher Brown, of your dialogue, he's saying here it sends the right signal to Sydney's multicultural heartland. Tell us more about what that right signal is.
It's about telling the cold communities, our multicultural communities, that their voice matters, that government wants to hear from them, wants them involved, and wants them to have a platform to voice their stories. This is a really encouraging and positive first step. This is about giving voice to a region that hasn't always had one. So the more opportunities we can have, and whether it's through SBS or other platforms, this sends a really strong signal.
In 2024, heading into 2025, and talk of a federal election, we are now in a landscape where the information ecosystem, the misinformation is much greater in terms of its proliferation than maybe even 10 years ago when the think tank launched. What's your take on what kind of response needs to be made in terms of ensuring that we do have engaged citizens and informed citizens amidst what seems to be more volatility in this information ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, given the amount of information and misinformation that's available in the public, having access to, you know, one of the nation's trusted news sources and platforms is really important. It's going to have an important role to play. So I think, having that voice and knowing that it is trusted and the communities have trust in it, importantly, is going to be important, particularly in times of elections and other key issues that are playing out publicly.
Also, the Western Sydney heartland, I guess, is also considered a very much contested space in terms of swing voters, battleground states. We've seen that in previous elections. In terms of the plan of the dialogue to kind of, prepare itself for that and maybe the vitriol that might come out. What's the thought about how we can best enter that period, that space?
Yeah, well, we expect Western Sydney to play a key role in the upcoming election, like it has historically in previous elections. There are a number of marginal seats that are up for grabs, and we're going to be using the upcoming months as an opportunity to raise some of the issues that our communities and our stakeholders have raised with us, put them in front of government, and hopefully we can get some responses leading up to next year's federal election.
Some of the big issues in recent years have been things like the pandemic, the cost of living crisis, and the tensions over the Middle East. How have we seen some of that in the Western Sydney communities, some of the concerns being raised?
Yeah, look, housing affordability is still front of mind for a lot of families and communities in Western Sydney. The federal government's taken some steps in recent times to try and address that in partnership with the state government that's put forward a lot of important planning reform to increase supply. So that we expect that to be a key issue. Transport and connectivity, ensuring that the communities in Western Sydney have access to jobs, to services, to lifestyle opportunities. That's been a constant theme and a message that we've heard for a number of years now. We don't expect it to be any different over the coming months. So we're certainly going to be putting forward some options to the federal government in terms of some action that we'd like to see on future metro rail networks, future connections to link some of these communities that haven't got strong transport and public transport access to jobs in particular. We want to make sure that that message is reiterated over the coming months.
And as we alluded to earlier in this interview, it's a very culturally diverse region, Greater Western Sydney. First Nations, we've got a number of languages spoken other than English. We've got Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, number of people following different faiths. You've got residents from India, China, Vietnam, Philippines, Iraq and Lebanon. When we talk about social cohesion, and obviously we've seen a synagogue in Melbourne be attacked over recent days, what are some of the insights that you think we can understand about how to navigate social cohesion with a very broad, culturally diverse and a group of residents?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things that emerged during the pandemic, which I think really shined the light on the importance of engaging and communicating with these communities, and that the government hadn't done a good job in being able to have the right channels and outlets to engage meaningfully with them. There's an inherent distrust in government and government information based on where they've been and where they've come from, and governments that haven't treated them well. So when they've come to the country, establishing that trust and those lines of communication is really important, which is another really important facet to SBS and SBS being based in Western Sydney, that it can go some way towards, in the first instance, in establishing some trust and to building on that confidence and that engagement so that the communities do feel like they've got a voice and it's being heard by government and by others.
James Taylor, the chair of SBS, is saying this resource, this move, will allow more Australian stories to be told, better collaboration with some of the universities, with some of the creative talents in Western Sydney, and overall lift to that local multilingual storytelling in that area. Well, what is your hope for, you know, we're still talking about location, we're still figuring out some of the logistics there, but your hope for how quickly this may be rolled out and, you know, getting off the ground?
He certainly raises a good point. I think the amount of young people, young talented people that are finding their voice and are looking for ways to promote it is a real feature of Western Sydney. And I think the more avenues that these young people in particular have got to express themselves creatively through news and through other outlets, then the nation's going to be better for it.